Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mystery.
And I'm Jay Clone 51.
Me, 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 me.
The one.
The one.
The 51.
And today we got a very fascinating topic. You guys already know. Jay has no idea what we're going to cover. But you guys at home already know because you read the title. And I just got to say, this is one that has probably had, out of all of the paranormal things, so much scientific vigor gone into it.
Okay.
On both sides. It's kind of crazy.
On both sides.
Of deniers and believers.
Okay.
So before we get fully into that, I do have a couple new reviews to read. And then, why don't you tell them about the future anglers of Indian Lake?
Future anglers of Indian Lake, they're supporting us. They're our newest sponsor. Yeah. Take your kids out fishing. You know, that's the main thing. What it's all about. They offer new fishing equipment and gear and all sorts of stuff for the youth.
I just seen they just took them out fishing on a boat. I think this past weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So they took a bunch of kids where they organized a bunch of boats to go out and take them crappie fishing and stuff like that.
Where's the best place you can go to support them?
The Facebook page. There's a link below in the description. If you want to donate stuff to them, use that link. If you want to sign your kids up, use that link. It's the best way to get a hold of them.
Mm-hmm. So then that's either the Future Anglers of Ohio or Future Anglers of Indian Lake.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of new 5-star reviews. Noted Films said, "So much" is the title. "This show is everything I look for in a podcast. Good host who have good rapport, spooky content, frequent uploads, and plenty of tangents. Season finales are always an extra special treat. You guys are great. Keep up the great work."
Well, thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. The next one is "a wonderful, unique podcast that covers blank, blank, blank. You guys are amazing, but now I can't look up in the sky without thinking about critters coming down or coming from up there. Keep up the good work." That's from Jessica.
Well, thank you, Jessica, but no need to fear.
I only think a couple of meat people, but I think there's many other things that you'd be afraid of.
Yeah, the odds of you getting hit on the head with a coconut and dying are much higher.
I don't know if anybody's done actual research into how many people a year get scooped up by jellyfish and amoebas.
Yeah. I don't think, the numbers aren't quite there, but I don't think it's a lot.
I think it's between 3 and 8,000.
Hmm. Worldwide?
No.
Oh, just in the U.S.?
Just in Ohio.
Okay, now you're just
No, I don't. Crazy. I have no idea.
You're just wrong.
So this is one, this topic we're going to get into today, is the Star Child Skull.
Oh, okay.
So we talked about it, and I actually jumped it ahead on the list of over a bunch of stuff because it's very unique, and the more I looked into it, the more weird stuff kind of popped up.
Okay.
And we're going to kind of take it from two different sides. The first big part of the episode, we're going to use the StarChildProject.com. That's the website, StarChildProject.com. If you are a believer that there is at least something strange about this skull, the website is amazing. That's pretty much where all of the information for the believer side of this came from.
Okay.
Everything from the history to the tests, the scientific studies, the DNA, we're going to go over all of that through their website. It's very unique. I highly suggest everybody look it up. Whenever we end up getting the museum up and running, this may be, I may get a replica of this for the museum just because there's so much weirdness around it.
Was this on that
website? Skulls Unlimited, yeah.
Wow.
That's how we got to start talking about it.
Okay.
It's because I said, oh, they got a replica of the Star Child
skull. I thought it was, we started talking about it because you randomly sent me that text that just says Star Child skull.
I mean, that's how I save ideas.
Yes. I know.
But yeah, it's a weird one. So before I get rocking and rolling, do you know anything about this?
I know what it looks like. I think I remember.
Do you know what it looks like?
Yes. Well, one, because the day you texted to me, I looked it up just to see the picture of it. I'm like, no, yeah, I have seen this before. But I think I remember the only time I've ever seen anything about this was on, I think it might have been like Ancient Aliens or something like that.
Yeah, it's definitely made the rounds on all of the shows.
So that's the only place I've ever seen or heard about it. So obviously I've only seen it from the believer's point of view.
The ancient alien side of you?
Yeah, basically.
Or the alien side of you? Because there's the weirdness is not just connected to aliens.
Okay.
That's why you asked me earlier, like, is it an alien thing?
No?
Maybe? It matters who you are, I guess. So we're going to start with, what is the Star Child Skull? So the Star Child Skull is a 900-year-old bone skull that was founded in Mexico in the 1930s. Is most famous for the attention it attracts among the alien enthusiast crew, who believe it is at least a partly alien skull. It should be noted that this, so this is from a warning from the Star Child Project. It should be noted that the Star Child Project does not assist or assert that it is an alien. However, we do not exclude the possibilities of it entirely. They're just trying to see us stay partial. I enjoyed the website thoroughly, especially if you want a lot more information. They have links to, like, so we're going to talk about the studies and some of the researchers later. You can find out tons and tons more through the website. It's a very well-run website for this stuff, at least for this project.
Okay.
The skull has been tested and examined by hundreds of medical and scientific experts since 1999. And no human condition or deformity has yet been identified that can explain the wide variety of abnormal characteristics. So we're actually going to break down all of that. We're going to break down the scientific experts. We're going to break down the studies that have done on it. And we're going to break down the abnormal characteristics of the skull.
Okay.
Like I said, we're going to definitely start from the website side of the argument. And then we'll switch to the skeptic side of the argument.
Okay.
So some of the tests include CT scans. So which proved the skull was not deformed by abnormal fusions in the cranial structure. The bone plates that the Star Child skull had are not stuck together in the way that stopped the skull from growing properly or changing its shape.
Okay.
And that's what they are claiming and their experts are claiming. So there are, and you can find all of this on their website. Like, you can see the CT pictures. You can see all these scans. So that's what their experts, their medical and scientific experts are saying about this. The X-rays, and they say, which shows the bone of the skull to be uniform, are uniformly thinner than a normal human bone that is not a frontal or has no frontal sinus, and there is no fluid or other abnormalities between the brain and inside the skull. So that's talking, we're going to come back around to hydrocephaly and stuff like that.
Right, yes.
So that comment's kind of aiming at that point of view.
Okay.
Scanning electron microscope analysis. So that's one of the newer ones, and its short term is SEM. So all capitals. You ever heard anybody talking SEM? That's an electron microscope, which is a very fascinating piece of equipment.
No, yeah, I've seen you've seen the pictures like where they get real close to like bugs' eyes or something. Yeah, and yeah, just the detail is crazy what so, they can get.
And when they use this, they say they discovered highly unusual microscopic fibers inside the bones of the skull, which are not normal for classical humans. Then they said other expert analysis of the physical structure of the bones, which identified the bones as much thinner and lighter than normal human bone, but also discovered that they are much stronger than human bones. The feature possibly related to the fibers in the bones. So we actually see this in everything from some dinosaur fossils to some birds and stuff like that, that have to have thinner hollow bones or anything like that, that they will actually have these strenuous fibers that interlock and make the bone a lot stronger for its weight.
Interesting. Okay.
So they're saying that the bones are, even though the bones are much thinner than human bones, they're actually, the skull is much stronger.
Stronger because it's got this.
The fibering in it.
Yeah.
And then DNA analysis, which is still ongoing, but has already uncovered some intriguing data and unverifiable results that left experts and optimists that further testing would provide enough evidence to prove the skull is a new species.
Mm.
Already you can see there's some weirdness to the skull.
Right.
I highly suggest everybody looks up the reconstructions of the face of this thing over this person, this being. Because there are many artists that they specialize in this.
Reconstructions?
Yeah, of skulls. And they are putting faces on skulls yes. and stuff like that. They vary wildly. People read the bone structure of this thing very, very differently.
Okay.
Because it's missing. There are parts missing.
It's not a complete
yes.
piece.
The skull cap is all there. The cranium is all there. The optics are there. The sinus is gone and the lower maxilla is gone.
Okay.
So it is missing a lot of features that would kind of help. So there's a lot of guesstimating for some of these missing features.
Right.
So I'm a big believer that's where the variety of reconstructions come in. Because they do kind of, these people that are experts in doing that still have to make stuff up because they're missing so much.
Right. I mean, it's speculative biology at the end of the day.
Yeah. So what is the Star Child skull? We kind of already went over that. But the Star Child skull exhibits both physical and genetic differences that distinguish it from typical human skulls, they claim. An extensive range of conditions, including amphrophilia, microtheriophilia, Alport syndrome, cradle boarding, which is an artificial cradle deformations, which we'll talk about, Curzon syndrome, hydrocephaly, Morgellons, Tursum 13, Porgia, Tursum 9.
I think progeria.
Oh, sorry, progeria. You're all right.
I think it's there was another one you said. I think it's Crouzon's syndrome.
Crouzon's.
Yeah. Crouzon's, yeah, it's something like that.
Tarsum 9, which is a different, so there's two tarsums on here, have all been examined as possible causes of the unusual characteristics of the skull. But so far, no condition or combination of these conditions have been found to explain all of the skull's weird features.
Mm.
And we'll come back around to that because there's plenty of the skeptics that say, yes, it does. There are cases that can explain this skull.
Mm, okay.
So all of those, some of them are artificial, some of them are genetic, some of them are, I think, even bacterial results.
Okay.
Of in vitro infections.
I recognize a few of them.
Yeah, like I never knew what Morgellons was.
Oh yes, okay.
I knew the name.
Yes,
I knew the name. I know what hydrocephaly is. Check out a soon to come out Tony Merkel documentary. But hydrocephaly is, you know, probably the most famous one on that list as far as the average public know kind of at least what that means.
Yeah.
Cradle boarding, there's many names for it.
Is that where the baby...
I have a whole section on it.
Okay.
Yes.
You like,
the second they're born, they start scraping the skull.
Yes.
And there's various cultures for various reasons and various different ways they do this.
Mm-hmm. Some cultures do it because they supposedly are imitating the quote-unquote gods...
100%.
That used to live there.
Which may be what the skull's from.
Mm, is it elongated?
We'll talk about it. So let's talk about some of the abnormalities in the skull. So the bone is uniformly half as thick or less than the normal human bone for the size class. It is not thin in specific areas or areas due to abnormality. It is universally thin.
Just the overall.
Overall, it is half as thick as a human skull for the size.
Okay.
So what they're saying, there's not spots missing.
Right.
You know, where it's more thin.
There's no thin spots. Yeah, yeah. Overall.
The skull itself weighs half as much as a human skull of comparable size. Some of the pictures don't do how good, like how big this thing actually is. When I first thought, I thought it would fit in like the palm of your hand. I thought it was like a tiny baby skull.
How big is it?
It's a lot bigger than that. It's like a 5 or 6 year old.
Okay.
The surface of the normal human bone. Oh, sorry. The surface of the normal human bone is covered in tiny holes called lachia, which perform tons of functions, from replacing old bone cells with new ones is the big one. The star child bone shows no sign of these pores inside the bone.
Okay. But could that have something to do with its immense age?
Probably not.
Okay.
They're pretty evident on bone. If anything, they would have wore bigger and disappearing completely.
Okay.
And it's very extremely well preserved. To where the age comes up as a big thing, or like, how can it be that old?
Yeah.
And still look that good? And where it was found was a big part of it. The bone itself, or so inside the bone itself, has microscopic fibers that may act to reinforce and strengthen the bone. And we find in that species in the animal kingdom.
Like a fiberglass, sounds like.
Yeah. There are several, like I already mentioned, everything from sauropods to elephants to seals, like a bunch of animals that have to deal with either depths or heavy impacts, or having to have a lot less weight and still be structurally sturdy, will start developing these fibers. Humans don't have that characteristic. It's very interesting.
Well, we're not typically going under the water.
Well, that and impact can be another factor of it.
Yeah.
So even like animals like rhinos who will develop it. So we have different, we are developed for impact. But we have like collapse, like our ribs can collapse.
Right, yeah.
We have other factors that have been done for that.
We're not built for ramming our heads into each other daily.
So all bone is like a sandwich with a hard corteal bone on the outside and porous cellulose bones that look like sponge in the middle. The cellulose bones is where the bone marrow is stored. After death, the marrow turns black and is consumed by microorganisms very quickly.
It's the good stuff.
The cellulose holes of the 900-year-old skull found next to the star's child skull are completely empty. So basically the bacterium had eaten all of that stuff.
Everything,
out.
Yes.
And there is a body. We'll talk about where the bodies were found and stuff like that. There are other people with the star child. However, the cellulose holes of the 900-year-old star child bone contain traces of red residue. After 900 years, it still has some stuff left in it.
In the skull or in the hole?
Inside the bone. In the cellulose layer of the bone. The spongy layer of the bone still has some red stuff.
Okay.
The lower face of the star child skull is much smaller than a normal human. It tapers extremely towards the face. There is no brow ridge, which pretty much all primates have, including us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are plenty of primates that have a very, very reduced brow ridge, but pretty much all primates have one.
Right.
As far as these people claim, there is none there. The forehead is smooth, curved straight down to the upper eye sockets, unlike humans or any other higher primates. You pretty much would only find this in some of the what we call more basal primate species.
Okay.
Some very old world monkeys and stuff like that.
Like lemurs?
Yes. Even them, they have a brow ridge. It's much more reduced.
Okay.
When the human forehead reaches the upper eye sockets, normally there are shaped, dropped down to a pin, or they kind of pinch together bones that create the upper nose. In the star child, there is no drop. The nose extends straight and is smooth from the forehead, stating wide and flat until the point where it is broken off, unlike that of humans and all higher primates, as they claim. The star child skull eye sockets are unusually shaped as well. They are only 0.07 inches at maximum depth, compared to the normal human eye socket, which averages a little over 2 inches deep.
So it's a lot more shallow.
The eyes are a lot shallow, a lot more shallow. The optic forens are the openings in the back of the eye socket, which let the optic nerves go to the brain with blood vessels as well, which feed each eyeball and allow it to function. In the Star Child skull, these are shaped and positioned very differently than humans.
Okay. Well, how so, I guess?
They're just in a different, they're just a different shape and a different spot.
Okay.
So they're going at that to say that even if this was a deformity, that is even extra weird.
Right.
You don't find that in hypercephaly normally.
It's beyond just the normal skull deformity or head deformity. Your whole The whole eye structure and thing is different.
Yes.
Which I had this thought. This is a little bit of a tangent, or extreme tangent.
This may be a two-parter already. So
you know, with the moon and the sun.
Oh, gosh.
And,
yeah.
And people, you know, it's real or fake or whatnot. I always thought of like the, at least recently, not always, but where the moon is actually like the, you know, like how you have the dead spot in your eye, like where your optic nerve is, there's blind spot.
Yes.
The moon is like the blind spot on the earth through the sun's light. And that's why it has, it's like a weird reflection of the earth's surface. And it's not the actual, it's not an actual planet body up there. It's just a reflection. But it's like that, it's that spot.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just very confused.
So it's imagine if the sun is like the light coming into your pupil.
I don't think you re-explaining it is gonna help me.
It's just what it is. It's the blind spot.
I think that's what I was getting at. That's gonna be the end of the conversation.
It's the blind spot on the retina.
It just is what it is.
It's the moon. That's what it is. There you go. You've heard it here first.
The moon is in fact a blind spot to the sun.
Correct.
For the optic nerve.
Of the earth.
Of the earth.
Which is man's consciousness. Man being man and woman, humans. The royal we. So there you go.
That's, see, he reads a book to that one commenter.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know who that was towards, but that's the truth right there. This is the moon. What it is, there's your answer.
I don't know. I have no idea what you just said.
Back to side.
If anybody try to get me to re-say what you just said, I could not do it.
That's the trick. Smoke and mirrors.
All right. The Star Child skull has no frontal sinus, an extremely rare condition. Now, like I said, we're doing the first part of this from the argument of the believers.
No frontal sinus, like, what's that mean? Like the sinus cavities, like no nose?
And the inner bones and stuff. It has a nose. It's missing a part, what we would call the frontal sinus, which is behind your nose.
Okay. So that cavity back there stores all your snot.
Yeah. All that remains of the Star Child's lower face is the right side maxilla. The roof of its mouth was flat, lacking any signs of normal human arch. And all of the lower face, it is much smaller than that of a normal human. So the Star Child's zygomatic arches, aka the cheekbones, are broken off. But from the small fragments that remained, it seems to be clear that the spaces between the cheekbones and the other bones of the face are much smaller than would be for a normal human of comparable age and size. This is significant because of the chewing muscles of the lower jaw through these spaces. So it must have been much smaller than a normal human. So aka a lot less chewing power, a lot less biting power.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on what foods they were eating 900 years ago in Mexico, it may have had a lot more trouble just eating normal food.
Right, yeah.
Human chewing muscles attached to the lower side of the jaw of the skull, extending over a large area of the skull. The Star Child's chewing muscles, the chewing muscles cover only about half as much of the skull as it would on a normal human. The Star Child's skull ear bones are positioned much lower on the head than a normal human. The Star Child's inner ear are approximately the size of a normal human inner ear. Or sorry, approximately twice the size of a normal human ear.
Okay.
So that is a weird one. When we start talking about the skeptics on this, because they have to come up with several of these extremely rare disorders compounding. That is one that should not happen from my research.
Bigger ear bones?
No, the cavity.
Oh, the whole cavity is in cells. Yeah.
The inner ear, the whole section of the inner ear. There are bones in there and the tubes are in there.
Mm-hmm.
The Star Child is approximately, for how small, like the area of the skull is, or approximately two times the size of an average human.
Okay.
Which is just, to me, is extremely weird. All this is extremely weird. But that is one that stuck out to me.
But you said the skull itself is smaller, right, than the average human?
No. Their parts are smaller.
Oh, okay.
It's weird. It's a weird skull. I have 100 more of these things of what's weird. I'm almost done with the weirdness and the organ, how it was found and who it was found with.
Yeah.
Let's see, where was I? Oh, okay. The Star Child's neck muscles attach in ways that indicate it was very small neck relative to the typical human. No more than half of the normal size of a human of comparable size.
Okay.
The Star Child's neck muscles attach in ways. I already read that one. Sorry. Human neck muscles normally attach to elevated points in the rear center of the optical or the occipital bones. The rear bone. Occipital, thank you. Bones of the skull.
Yes. The back of your skull.
The elevated points are called the external, how do you say that word?
Occipital?
Occipital protuberances.
Protuberances.
Or ions, for short. All humans, and indeed all primates on Earth, have these ions. The Star Child skull does not have these attachment points.
Huh. They're called, so that thing.
That's the short term.
Is ions?
Inons, ions, I don't know how to.
I've never heard that before.
It's just the big. The short, that big, long
right,
word.
Right, yeah, that's a long word. Protuberances, that's a good.
I like protuberances. It makes me think of giraffes every time somebody says it.
It needs to come out more often in the English language.
Well, there's not many. I mean, there's a lot of uses for protuberances. It's just a hard, clunky word.
My favorite is mammalian protuberances.
Gosh. In addition to the extreme optical protuberances, or I can't say it. How do you say it? Occipital?
Yep, occipital.
Protuberances on the outside of the skull. There is also internal protuberances on the inside. This functions as a shelf holding some weight for the brain. While the Star Child does not have the internal ones, it's their internal shelf, it has a much smaller one that would be than would be in a normal human. It does not have the external one. It has an internal one that is much smaller.
Okay.
Through the rear of the Star Child's skull is widely expanded and greatly flattened. This is not a result of deliberate binding or cradle boarding. This was verified by the 2004 study by Dr. Ted Robinson and his team. Which we could talk about Ted's study and his team and all that stuff. I have that later, if you would like it. There's the top of the rear of the Star Child skull is notable crease, the rear of the sagittal structure, where it meets the lambotium structure. The only possible way it can happen is if a human skull is there for the abnormal fusion in one of these structures. A CAT scan showed that no such abnormality existed on this Star Child skull. There's this weird little crease. They're like, well, you'd only see that crease if this X happened.
Okay.
They did the CAT scan and they proved X did not happen.
Okay.
Just two more and then we'll get into some history. I know this is a lot. This is just a lot of the weirdness with the skull.
Right, yeah.
I did not know. I knew it was a weird skull. I knew it had some things.
But not all this.
TV, even they never did it good justice. Just to actually sit down and explain, why is this thing so weird?
That makes sense.
Because some of these I could throw away and be like, that's a deformity.
Right, yeah.
Even if it's two deformities at the same time. Because some of the deformities we mentioned earlier do have, I don't know the right wording, but like a deformity that goes hand in hand with them oftentimes. When one shows up, sometimes the other one shows up.
Oh, okay.
Double downs.
Gotcha. Okay.
But to get all of these would be quite dramatic.
It'd be, you hit quite the jackpot.
All right. The Star Child's physical size is that of a small adult in the range of 5 feet tall or the average 12-year-old, which means the brain should be about 1,200 cubic centimeters. The average adult has a skull of 1,400 cubic centimeters of brain.
Okay, so it's slightly smaller than an adult.
No. A human of the same size would be 1,200. An adult human is 1,400.
Yeah.
The Star Child's brain was 1,600.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
That's what I was getting to.
Okay.
That a human of the same size as the Star Child's skull would have been 1,200.
Right.
The Star Child is 1,600. Well, that's brain just, case. The brain case.
That's just because the skull was a little thinner, so it made more room on the inside to.
You're saying it funny, but.
For more brain.
That could, I don't know, more brain, but hypercephaly.
Or that.
Can expand, you know, water on the brain can expand these cases. I'm just saying that it is quite dramatically larger.
Right,
than
yeah, it is.
An adult human.
Yeah.
Versus somebody that comparable size and comparable region, which, you know, it's about five, the Star Child is about 5 foot tall. The teeth of the skull are an extremely controversial subject.
Now, it didn't have the lower jawbone, so
it's just
got the upper...
A couple of teeth on top.
Okay.
As many experts feel that it shows the star child was a child of 5 years in age. However, the biting surface of the teeth are worn and ground to a degree that seems impossible for such a young child, especially one with smaller than normal chewing muscles.
Well, if it was around for 900 years.
Yeah. No, so that is an extreme. All the stuff we just talked about, that is the one that they fight about the most. Mm. Because there's so many dental experts, and when there's tons on both sides. There's absolutely tons on both sides.
Yeah.
That say there is no way, that is a child's tooth that is a five-year-old, as a five-year-old child's tooth.
Right.
And generally, that quote, yeah, science is extremely accurate.
That side of it, yes.
Yes.
Can be.
But the wear patterns are of somebody that would have to be in their 60s. And they're saying that with the extremely small jaws and the pretty much the lack of all these jaw muscles, it'd be so hard for it to get these wear patterns at being 40, 50, or 60 years old.
Well, unless,
so how would a five-year-old wear down their teeth that much?
And my guess, if say it is a five-year-old, maybe whatever deformities or whatever, you know, problems they have cause them to constantly grind their teeth. And maybe, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Now, I'm not even disagreeing with it because I really don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I really do not know how I feel about this skull. But there, one thing I will say to that notion is that grinding teeth still requires jaw muscles.
Right, yeah.
So this thing has like a quarter of the jaw muscles.
Just a slight grind.
I mean, yeah. So it's still, you have to do that. You have to have teeth.
He's just very, he's born very nervous with all the problems. So he's constantly teeth are chattering. Yeah, just like basically
I don't know
if that
picked up or not.
Yeah, I don't know. Like
I can hear it a little bit.
There we go.
All right. So before we get into history.
Yes.
We'll take an ad break.
Good, because I'm starving.
Are you?
Yeah, I need something that is makes everything I eat taste even better.
All right.
You got anything?
Yep.
Welcome back to Cooking with J Clone 77. And we're back again on a new episode with my guest chef, the Defiance Dogman.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, okay. Defiance Dogman, today you're preparing a special dish. What do you got for us today?
Lamb chops.
Ah, some roasted lamb chops. Oh, now, you said today you brought a secret ingredient. What was that you brought with us today? Oh, spicy Bigfoot breath. Raw garlic dust from Flavors of the Forest?
Yeah, best thing.
Ah, let me sprinkle a little bit on my lamb chop here that you prepared. Oh, my goodness. This flavor profile went from a 10 to an 11.
That means you go...
Couldn't have said it better myself, Mr. Dogman. And you can find this. You can get your own bottles of Flavors of the Forest. Raw spicy garlic dust. Raw garlic dust. Spicy garlic dust. Bigfoot breath. It's all delicious and packed full of garlic delicious flavor that you can't get anywhere else. You can get it at flavorsforest.com/corn.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
And we're back. Man, do you think a dogman appears later in this episode?
I sure hope so.
There is some weird stuff with the skull. So we literally took a half hour just to mention the level, the list of oddities with this skull. So I hope that everybody finds that interesting. I just felt bad because I've watched, I've seen this on several TV programs. I've seen it, like you said, on Ancient Aliens. I've seen it on some of the other alien shows, or I think I even seen it on one of the History's Mysteries or something like that.
Yeah, it's it did the rounds.
And I never knew the level of oddities. They'd mention a couple, right? Mm-hmm. The opticals are one because you can physically see the eyes are very different on this skull.
Right. Compared to a normal human.
Yeah. So I really wanted to go over the whole list of what they claim are the oddities of it. Some of them I could throw away personally as just, you know, this deformed skull. It's a human born with a, you know, with a birth defect or deformity. And that's what happens.
Yeah. Some.
Some of them. Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could say half that big list.
Yeah.
And there's a plenty of others that just don't happen in a lot of those situations.
They don't jive together normally.
Yeah, the ears and the eye sockets are two big ones for me.
Yeah, that's a pretty big one.
Optic nerve movement is really big.
That and the overall just density and shape, I guess.
And we'll, yeah, when we get to the skeptic side of that, they claim stuff with that.
Okay.
So let's talk about the actual history of it. In archaeology, the history of an object from the time it was discovered to the present is called providence. I did not know that. It has like, it's a, like a chain of evidence for all kinds of other things. So if you ever hear in archaeology, somebody said the object's providence, that's what they're talking about. Like the chain of custody,
it's search history. It's search history.
Yeah. I mean, who had it? Where'd it come from?
Right.
Who's had it all that time? Museums, private collections.
Like a blockchain.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I mean, I don't fully understand that either, but. So it's a chain of evidence that allows archaeologists and scientists to see where an item was and who had access to the item at all times to make sure nothing was tampered with.
Okay.
So like basically if there's somebody scrupulous and you're like, well, they touched these objects. So these are objects we probably should look at.
Yep. The providence. There's a note here and it's providence.
This is obviously important to help experts spot a fake artifact, but modern scientists have made it pretty much impossible to fake bone relics like the Star Child skull. You can't fake bone. You used to for a long time.
Bone worse.
Yeah. But now, I mean, you know it's bone or not.
You know the easiest way to tell?
That's a fossil, not a bone.
Oh, dang it.
Actually, right. I do think it is burnt. Like, burnt bones will do it too. Not, I don't think fresh bones will do it because they still have their liquid in it.
We're talking about licking it. And then it'll stick to your skin.
It'll stick to your tongue.
Or stick to your tongue.
Because it's porous and it wants the moisture back.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So this is obviously important to help spot fakes. But modern science has made it impossible to fake bone relics like the Star Child skull. Although the providence, the history of the skull, is not always clear, the fact remains that it does exist, it is real, and it's certainly there's no explanation of it as far as the Star Child project claims. So the Star Child's providence starts in the 1930s. During the 1930s, an American teenage girl went on holiday to Mexico with her family, who were all of Mexican heritage. While visiting a small village in Mexico's Copper Canyon region, she went exploring on her own and discovered an abandoned mine tunnel. Inside, she found a full human skeleton laying on its back. Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's not always the best sign when exploring a new area.
Beside it was an area of disturbance on the ground with an arm bone sticking out of the dirt and the hand bone wrapped around the upper arm bone of the skeleton laying on the surface. So there's an adult skeleton laying on the surface.
Right.
And underneath the ground, there's a little hand bone coming up wrapped around the arm
of the adult.
Of the big skeleton.
Yeah.
That's what's claimed here.
Yes.
I want to make that clear.
Claim that she stumbled upon.
Yes. Bone sticking out of the dirt, wrapped around the skeleton laying on the surface. Using her hands, she dug up the buried skeleton, which was described as smaller than the other one, and misshapen out of a shallow grave. That was her wording of it. that the skull, the creature, the being was misshapen.
Misshapen's a good descriptor.
It may not be. The girl gathered up all the bones and hid them nearby with the intention of returning later during her vacation to take the bones. She claimed that at some point soon afterwards, there was a flash flood that washed most of the bones away. However, the girl did find the two skulls. The misshapen one was damaged, lodging the debris along with the flood path. She then took it home, back to her home in Texas, where she kept it for the rest of her life.
And she's cursed.
The misshapen skull had been damaged, and now most of the front part of the face was missing, with only a small piece of maxilla, the upper jawbone, remaining, and the rest was broken free from the rest of the skull. At some point later, the girl, probably a woman now, coated the exterior of both skulls in clear silica. This continued to keep them until she passed away.
Mm.
So she was basically put epoxy on them.
Yeah.
Very bad thing to do.
Why is that?
Because it's going to change. It can change a lot of the dating stuff. It can mess with the actual chemicals in the skull.
Okay.
It can make it harder to do chemical analysis and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
You're basically soaking the skull in a bunch of chemicals.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. It's bad for that side of it.
It's bad for the science side of it. It's yes. bad because it's going to cause some problems.
But it could preserve it a lot longer, but.
Yeah.
You're not preserving the stuff.
But you're not preserving anything at
just,
that point.
Just the shape.
Yeah. The girl never gave the name or the exact location of the village she had been visiting or any specific details on location of the mine tunnel. She passed away in the 1990s, making the story of the discovery pretty much hearsay at this point. However, the staining on the skull matched the story, but with the normal skull was laying on its back above ground and the misshapen skull was buried. The inorganic chemistry test on both skulls matched what would appear to be in the Copper Canyon region of Mexico.
Okay.
So there, even though her story was pretty much hearsay, there was a lot backing it up.
Right.
Upon her death, the skull was passed to a friend who turned and in turn passed them on to Ray and Madeline Young of El Paso, Texas in 1998. Madeline, a nurse, a clinical massage therapist, who had an intrigue to learn about deformities and conditions that would have caused a misshapen skull. She approached several of her colleagues at a hospital where she worked, and while all dismissed it as some sort of deformity, none could give her a really good, exact explanation of what the deformity was.
Hmm.
So none of them could really give her a good explanation of what caused it. This piqued her curiosity further, and now, suspecting that it might be something completely new to science and medicine, Madeline sought out an open-minded assistant of Lloyd Payne. Pay, P-Y-E, I don't know how to say his last name.
Pie, maybe?
Pie, an author and researcher in the field of alternative knowledge, which contracts among the medical professionals.
Wait, in a field of what?
Alternative knowledge.
That's a thing?
Well, he made it a thing. Lloyd, we'll go with Lloyd.
Field of alternative knowledge?
Yes.
I'm going to start. I think I have a degree in that.
I think you do.
All right.
So
I need to make a note here.
Lloyd is kind of where things get weird on both sides.
Okay.
Lloyd became the director of the Star Child Project in February of 1999. And after rapidly encountering the same inability among the experts to identify the deformity, they began to suspect the skull was otherworldly in origin, a theme they explored in many books and lectures. Lloyd, with the assistance of both major and minor contributors, organizations independent scientific testing of the skull in three different countries, U.S., Canada, and England. Those tests concluded the skull was about 900 years old. Star Child bones are thinner, lighter, and stronger than human bones. The bones contain unusual reinforcement fibers, and the brain is 30% larger than an adult human skull. The entire skull is about 10 standard deviations from the human norm, a highly significant statistic. That's pretty rare.
Okay.
And then I have a quote from Dr. Ted Robinson, MD. One can only reasonably conclude from these statistic studies that the Star Child skull is distinctly different from that of a human. So we can talk about him later. I got a bunch of stuff on him.
That's all he said?
That's one quote.
Paul. Oh, okay.
No, there's hundreds of pages in here.
Okay,
from him.
Because I was just saying, you know, all this analysis and studying and breaking it down, we can finally come down to this conclusion. It's different than a normal human skull.
Many theories have proposed over the years, yet none are no known human deformity, illness, culture, or practice has been identified an example in the skull. In 2003, Trace Genetics were able to recover some human DNA from the Star Child skull. However, despite DNA clearly being present in the sample, the technology was unable to identify much of the genetic material as human.
Hmm.
So it did get a hit from human. We've talked about that on this show a lot with DNA testing, especially in the 2000s. Like 2003, that was very early in this type of DNA testing.
Okay.
So I could 100% see contaminant.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know that now too from trying to collect Bigfoot evidence, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to get human contaminant if you just breathe near it.
Mm-hmm. In 2010, the project secured access to a highly sophisticated ancient DNA lab capable of recovering non-human DNA. Our preliminary DNA testing had found that a significant percentage of the DNA in the skull appears to be non-human, finding that if verifiable, would indicate the skull was a new species. And it's meaning Homo sapien.
Mm, okay.
So by non-human, so that's kind of a weird term when it comes to this stuff. There are many species of human. But they're specifically talking about us, Homo sapien.
Okay.
So 2013, the Star Child Project became the formal formal company and now continues its work in completing the DNA testing in the skull in terms of the truth of the unusual specimen. What do you think so far?
What do I think this, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's just weird. So this is all from the Star Child University or the Star Child Project.
Project, yeah.
Claim.
Yeah.
Now, I believe Dr. Ted Robinson, there's stuff about him, but he is a third party one that was like, mm-hmm. I guess, contracted in to do third-party testing.
I mean, it's obviously very, very puzzling. Some parts, I keep thinking of, well, the one disease you named on there, or whatever you call it, condition, progeria, pops up a lot for me.
That's when I don't know what it looks like.
I think you would if you've seen
it. Probably. Like, Morgellons is one I've heard. I've heard the name tons.
Morgellons disease?
Yeah.
What's the one that, I know it's not that one, but what's the one like they said Abe Lincoln had or?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm talking about?
No. Is that progeria?
No. Oh, no. No, progeria.
I don't know anything about these diseases besides hypercephaly. That's the only one I know.
And that's with the fluid in the.
That's a buildup of now you, it can be man induced. It can like.
Right. Yeah.
Bunch of bad people did it to kids.
Yeah.
It can be a genetic thing. Basically, it's a building up of fluid in the brain casing.
Right, and makes your skull...
Like a water balloon.
Yeah.
Not exactly, but you can get some of the looks, at least of the skull cap from hypercephaly.
From that, yeah.
I don't think all of the deformities or all of the oddities...
No.
...could be related to hypercephaly. But like I said, hypercephaly is one of those that can come in hand
mm-hmm.
with a couple other diseases
mm-hmm.
that may attribute to some more of the oddities.
Well, progeria, Because I remember my friend did a report on it when we were in college together. And so I have like a basic knowledge of it. And this is years ago, even then. But, you know, typically the people are smaller, you know, skinnier, but they have the facial features are like they got their eyes are like sunk down. I don't know. It's just, it seems like it may fit a lot of these. Or not, I don't even know if a lot of them, I guess I don't have a very deep knowledge in it, but that's the one that pops in my head a lot, like the skull shape and so, I don't know. But I don't know if their brains are, you know, whatever, 10, 20% bigger, whatever that number was. It wasn't either of those, but ballparking it.
So the story, Lloyd Pye, or however you say his last name, you guys know from listening to the show, if you've been a long time listener, I can't read at all. You know, that's all I do on this show.
Right.
So thank you for all the corrections. Just know it probably won't matter to me.
It won't.
Because my brain's messed up. But no, so I don't know with the story. It's super weird. Like they talked about the provenance of this, of the artifact of this child's skull. And I don't even know it's a child's skull.
Right. We don't know.
That's kind of what mainstream science calls it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you heard from the Star Child Project, that's not consistent with some of the teeth DNA. So this will be a two-parter at least. When we come back, we still have more to talk about. When we come back, we're going to get right back into the testing that was done on the skull. We're actually going to break down a lot of the tests, including Dr. Robinson's, and some of the DNA analysis Because there's been like half a dozen hardcore DNA surveys done into this thing.
Wow, okay.
Very mixed results.
Yeah.
Including some pretty modern ones.
Well, that's good then.
It's weird. It's a weird thing. So what do you think of the story? What do you think of this? Do you think that's real? Do you think somebody made up a backstory?
The way it was discovered?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems a little far-fetched with the hand reaching out on the ground and like hanging onto the arm. It's very out of a like cartoon or something.
I have trouble with that a lot.
Yeah.
Because if it is 900 years old, why would it, first off, why would it be in a mine tunnel?
Yeah.
It's not a cave. It was in the story, she specifically states.
Right.
Mine tunnel. Unless it was a super ancient mine tunnel, which I don't, from that sounding, I did not get that impression. Because like the Lovelock caves we've talked about, where stuff can get buried under everything from flood-ins to bat guano will bury stuff. To, yeah. You know, all this stuff in caves can be really good time capsules. Mine shafts to an extent too, because they can act like a cave depending on what's in them.
Right, yeah.
But what would be weird to me if a 900-year-old, I don't know how two 900-year-old skeletons would be in perfect condition, in perfect laying order, with one of them completely outside of the ground,
right.
Face down.
Yeah. That's a little far-fetched to me.
And not be disturbed?
Yeah. Yeah, something just didn't seem right about that. I don't know what it, but why, maybe she was somewhere she wasn't supposed to be?
I had that actual same thought. But where else would you say you were? What is worse than running, like sneaking off from your family and going into a valley, a canyon in Mexico and going down a mine shaft?
Or maybe it wasn't a mine shaft. Maybe it was an ancient
there's that
shaft tunnel or
maybe
something.
Maybe that is too. That maybe she did not realize
what she
was in.
Yeah.
And to that aspect, it could have been a cave.
Right.
Cave would make tons more sense to me.
Yeah.
That maybe even a recent washout had exposed some of it. Because in the depictions, it shows like the whole skeleton being outside.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe if it was just the top of it a little exposed.
That would make a little more sense.
That it would be much more believable for me.
Being buried, that means it was buried the whole time. So
yeah, and it had to be buried pretty quick.
Yeah,
because the death and stuff like this is a big question of how did these people die?
Mm-hmm.
Because both the star child and an adult human
were very preserved.
Were dead at the same time.
Yeah,
or relatively close to each other. They died, you know, pretty close to each other. May have been in a cave flood. It may have been in a monsoon. Canyons, I'm sorry.
Or maybe whoever that other skeleton was.
Strangling the star child?
Well, no, I was going to say they found that area and they weren't supposed to be down in there and they're crawling around the ground and the star child, like a zombie, reached through the ground and grabbed on him and instantly insta-kill. And that's where...
Touch of death.
Yeah. Death touch. Dim mock.
What'd you just say?
Dim mock.
What is that?
Death touch.
Oh, it sounds like you're saying a swear in some other language.
It's from the movie Bloodsport.
Are you sure that's what that means?
Yeah, the death touch. It's the dim mock by what's his name? Shidoshi Tanaka teaches the dim mock, the death touch.
It just sounds like you're making up words and you're saying them at me.
I could be, but I'm not. I could be
because they sound like other languages. But
my Shidoshi. it's real stuff here.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think of all the deformities listed on the skull? Without knowing about the scientific research, we're going to talk about that next episode.
I mean, there's enough of it to make you think like, oh, could this be a gray alien skull? Oh, could this be something?
Well, hit that nail on the head.
Right, yeah. Like, that's what the thing I'm thinking of. Like, gray alien, or it's just something... deformed, someone deformed. It could be that. Like, it could be an early deformity, and then it's just, they died, and they, or I don't know, died early.
Okay, so depending on which point of view you're going with, they at least lived to be, like, 5 or 6.
Right.
But they were also, like, 5 feet tall.
Oh, gosh.
So they were not, I mean, they were the size of a 12-year-old.
Well, I mean, if you have physical deformities, maybe that's one of them.
That's fine. I'm just saying there's a lot of weirdness. I don't know how old it's supposed to be. The dentists say, some of the skeptic dentists say that it's 5 years old. Some of the osteoencologist. Is that what it is? The bone people?
That sounds right.
They are pretty adamant that it's a 12-year-old, around a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
For the average size in that area in Mexico around that time.
If it's a human.
If it's human, that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
It's a 12-year-old.
Hmm.
And then other dental experts are saying just with the teeth wear patterns, they're putting it at 40, 50, 60 years old.
I just don't know. To me, you can't. On a 900-year-old skull, I can't use the wear patterns.
The wear patterns make sense to me.
Why do they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we have...
Because anything could have happened.
Do you know what I'm saying, wear patterns?
Yeah, like the constant where they touch, like...
Yeah, it's grinding patterns.
Right.
It's different than erosion.
Right. But I don't know. I mean, it could just be another weird deformity. This thing's weird. What if it just has weird patterned teeth?
That could be, too.
So, I mean, I don't know. I can't just... I can't put a whole lot of weight into the wear pattern for the age of the thing. To me, I don't know. Because it's just, I guess there's too many factors that could change that.
Like I said at the beginning, I really do not know where I fall on this.
Right.
This is probably up there with one of the, sides like the Patterson-Gimlin film, the most heavily scientifically researched paranormal thing.
It's got to be up there, right?
I think it's probably the one.
Okay.
With the amount of studies we're going to talk about, the amount of studies, scans, that kind of stuff. I guess it's where you draw the line on paranormal. Like, because the Patterson-Gimlin film is like one of the single most
scrutinized,
surveyed pieces of film ever.
Yeah.
Because I've heard everything. So it depends on who you look at. I've heard everything that it's either the JFK assassination or it's a Patterson-Gimlin film.
Yeah.
And depending on whose estimate you look at,
I
think it's Patterson-Gimlin.
Probably. I mean, maybe. I guess I don't know.
I don't know. Like I said, they're very close.
Right.
They are extremely close.
I'd say the JFK thing was a little more mainstream at a certain point in time.
Yeah, but the FBI and the CIA weren't looking into it nearly as hard because they knew the answer.
Well, yeah.
So they don't have to research.
You can't self-incriminate.
The FBI had a whole like little division for a while just analyzing the Patterson-Gimlin film.
Yeah, and they still didn't figure nothing out.
They just said inconclusive.
Yeah, let's keep...
Which means real.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're
needs context.
So with this, it's there's so much science, but something I just heard recently is, you know, we kind of forget that scientists are people with motives.
That's true.
And so, like I said, we're definitely presenting the first part as the Star Child Project mindset, and we will swing back around.
Did they have a conclusion?
They do, but I'm saving that for next episode.
I'm curious to think.
And they don't have a hard conclusion. I will give you that. That they appear to be very open to any of it. And they give a big list of things that could be, like everything.
Is one of them the offspring of a hybridized human with a alien, quote unquote, alien entity that has starseed, you have a mission to complete.
I cannot confirm or deny that is on the list.
A tumor seal?
Yes, the tumor seal shirt's coming to the store very soon.
I cannot confirm or deny that.
I cannot confirm or deny that I'm winking.
All right.
I don't know. This is just one to me that it's just so much more weird. Like, and the more you get into it, the more I really don't know what I believe.
The more it's weirder. It stirs up things.
Yeah, I know it's real bone.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that. There's so many. Nobody is arguing that. On either side,
mm-hmm.
that it's fake, you know, but at least as in fake, as in not bone.
Okay.
It is bone from a living humanoid.
Mm-hmm. But it's not like the Piltdown Man fake, where it's real bone.
Well, I mean.
But from two different animals glued together.
An orangutan jaw stuck on a.
Human.
It wasn't a.
It
was some kind of the ancient human.
Some hominid.
The top was.
Yeah.
They just put an orangutan skull. Was it orangutan? I think it was orangutan.
I think it was orangutan. And then they literally, that was the mainstream reel, the missing link between us and, what, Lucy? Is that what they say?
I don't know.
I don't even know if Lucy's. I still think that's all a bunch of BS.
Whenever we're ending the podcast, you'll know, because it'll be the 18 part about the theory of evolution.
It's coming.
We're ending the podcast?
Well, evolution, the takedown.
Oh, the takedown.
Someone just asked me this weekend about, I believe in evolution. And I said no. And they couldn't believe that I didn't believe that.
I I would love to talk to them because they don't understand what the word means.
I don't think so.
Well, hopefully you guys have enjoyed this episode. This is part one of the Star Child Skull. When we come back next week, we're going to dive into the scientific surveys, the type of technology that has been used on this skull with the odd results, and the DNA analysis from many different labs from three different countries.
Ooh. Exciting.
I have been the great and powerful mystery.
And I have been J-Clone 51.
We'll catch you next week, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cribbins the Corn Podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the J clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye! Bye.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.